All right, here we go. And a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is episode 252, spotlight on DC Comics, Green Arrow Rebirth, number one. There's some dashes and colons in there, but you can't really hear that in my voice. Anyway. I am Chris Mosley.
We should have done that other issue this week instead of last week. If this is a number as a 52. Never mind.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. 252. Anyway, new 52 is dead.
long live afterbirth. I mean rebirth. Sorry.
Yeah. Yes. Long live the DC universe.
Yeah, hopefully. I'm Caleb, by the way. I'm sorry. I come.
Yes.
Myself off.
Murray is caught in interspace traffic right now. He's, I think he's in a landing pattern, but there's an ion storm, so he's going to be a little late. But he'll be here. He had to make a left turn at Albuquerque, but he'll be here. He should be here soon. So hopefully,
maybe possibly.
So yeah, yes, okay.
Yeah. Hey, so last week we covered Rebirth, which is actually really fun. I'm glad we did that.
Yes.
A good issue,
great.
Good conversation. One thing we didn't talk about is what is coming up next for DC. So a lot of the titles are wrapping up at number 52, a couple of them earlier because they started later. But basically all of the DC titles are ending again and all starting – a lot of them are starting over with number one except for Action Comics, which is going back – to previous numbering, to number 957. And I don't know if that includes the 52 issues that have been published since.
I'd have to do the math. Detective is doing the same.
Yeah, Detective's going to 934.
You know, I still got that preview thing. You're sitting around here somewhere. But anyway, go ahead.
Dig it up while I'm babbling here. So they did their 80-page giant, the one that we covered last week, and then they're going to reboot. They've already started, actually, this week. Three of the titles, the rebirth.
Four.
Four? Batman,
four.
Superman.
Man, Green Lanterns.
Oh, Green Lanterns.
Plural.
So, I forgot about Green Lanterns.
Yeah.
Came out. There'll be more next week and so on and so forth. It runs. And in the Marvel way, they're going to drip this out over the next few months. They're not bulking it up like they did the first time with the new 52. So.
Yes, yeah. Some of them are coming out every other week. Every other, every time.
Right, well, those are the new titles, but in terms of the restart of the title, they're dripping them out. There's going to be some this month.
Yes.
Some in June of 2016, some in July, some in August,
exactly,
some in September. And there's even one coming out as late as October, which is Teen Titans, which shockingly is one of the ones I'm looking forward to the most. So,
yes, same here. Here we go. DC put out a previews for the first round, and I happen to have the PDF there. Actually, made it free for everybody. I downloaded the PDF off of DCBS, and then my next order actually had a physical copy of it.
This is back in the Flashpoint days.
No, this is the actual first previews with all the new Rebirth stuff.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe we were trying to figure out where the numbering ended on Action and Detective before Flash.
Well, let's see. Yeah, June 8th is, Action 957, and then same week is Detective 934. I'd have to look back and see but if that includes all those or not.
So, and they're sticking with breaking the line down into different families of titles. So there's the Bat family, there's the Justice League family, there's the Other family, and then there's the Superman Wonder Woman family, which I think is odd, but I guess they don't want to leave Wonder Woman out, which is good. I mean, but given that there's actually only two titles with Wonder Woman actually featured in it, which is.
They're doing Superman, Wonder Woman again?
No, they're doing Trinity, which is
I missed
yeah,
that.
Which is being written and drawn by Francis Manapal, and it's going to star think about it, it's going to star the Trinity. So,
of course,
that will be coming out in September. Anyhow, so a bunch of titles, but again, one of the things that pushed them to do this whole rebirth was the fact that their titles were getting basically critically panned. Most of their titles were not selling very well, and some of them deserved to not sell well or get critically praised. And one of them was Green Arrow, which was crap, and which was not good, because that show Arrow, while it is not breaking records on television, it certainly has started. It started the trend of the DC TV shows. It was the first one, and now there's four. So, and at one point there were five. You know, if you count Constantine.
I did.
Of course you do. Yeah. So there was five, and they. Yeah, you thought it was great. I mean, I watched one episode. I'm sure I would have watched more, but I'd be frank with you, I forgot about it.
Yes, that was one I was procuring through other means, and it's good. I liked it. And then they had the same actor play that character on an episode of Arrow, and it was very good.
Well, and my point was, though, that if there was ever a comic book they needed to have be good, it would
yes.
be the Green Arrow title, because if they want people to watch the show to go, hey, I should read a comic book with this character, and they picked up that series that was going on up until just a few weeks ago, I mm-hmm. can't imagine they would ever come back. There was a period of about a year when Jeff Lemire was writing it. And
yes, that was good. I read every single issue of his run, and then it went back to
Kirk. Yeah, Sorrentino was drawing it. It was really good. And then there was a period before that, but everything, yeah, like you said, everything since Lemire left has been a letdown. And this latest run, up until now, was really bad. I mean, you can yep. see that they were really trying to pull in a lot of the feel and the characters from the TV show. They introduced Diggle. They introduced, I don't know what the female character's name is, his love interest. I don't recall. I don't watch the show.
Well, it's become quite the soap opera. I'm not sure how much longer I'll watch it, but Felicity was it. They did that whole the moonlighting thing where, you know, then they got together and then something happened and now they're not together.
Well, they brought her to the comic book briefly, and they're making an attempt to make it new reader television friendly, but unfortunately the writing just wasn't good. So the rebirth, this is an opportunity, along with some of their other titles that had the same problem, to make them good. They can say, you know, basically a fresh start. Now they're not reboots. I think that's the kind of neat thing, is they're just saying, okay, we're going to leap off from where we left off, but we can basically do whatever we want. We can say, okay, this is a new start. Everybody gets not a reset, but a new life. It'd be like in a video game where you win a new life and you can keep playing and go off into new adventure.
Yeah. So. Superman is the one that's had the biggest change.
Right, and that's a podcast in itself, which maybe...
Yeah, we'll get to that.
But I wanted, of the four that came out this week, the one that impressed me the most as a redo was Green Arrow. Mm-hmm. Again, this week they had Batman, which was good. No, taking nothing away from it, but it wasn't a redo. There was nothing. Critically, it didn't need any help.
I read, that's the only title of the New 52 that I read every single issue.
Yeah.
Is that Batman? Yeah. The Detective Comics was not one. But yeah, that's the only one. It was had a great run. The Snyder took he's on another book, and Capullo's taking a break completely from everything. Apparently, they ended their run at 50, and then they had a couple of fill-in stories on 51 and 52. But it ended there. So
right. And then Green Lanterns, as you reminded me, came out, which it's not a reboot because these characters never really, barely had any time. The Simon Boz character came and left, and the Jessica Cruz character was reinvented recently, or just right at the end of the New 52. And then the other one that came out was Superman, but again, I think we need to not cover that because that is incredibly, it's very full. And it's, and I think, it is a, that's a hard reboot. I would say of all of the titles that are coming out, that's the closest to a complete restart of any of the books.
And they did a pretty good job of explaining it without getting too complicated, I thought, in the Rebirth issue. But it was a lot to cover.
So the Green Arrow book, that was, again, that was the one. It's a soft reboot. Ben Percy is the writer. Ironically, a guy by the name of Otto Schmidt is the artist, along with Juan Ferreira. The reason I say ironically is because I think, wasn't Otto something or other, didn't he create... There was an Otto that created Green Arrow, I think.
Was it? Yeah, you might be thinking of Wonder Woman.
You're right. I am thinking of Wonder Woman.
Yeah, so, the guy who created...
Or Weisinger created Green Arrow. My bad. Sorry.
Yes, the guy that created the lie detector test. It's the same person.
Right. Sorry, getting my... So, this is Green Arrow Rebirth number one, and then all of them are going to get a... Not all of them. Most of the titles are getting a Rebirth number one, and then they're going to kick off with an actual monthly number one. So, DC is getting two bites at the number one apple with a lot of these titles.
Right.
Good for them.
So, speaking of that, as of the time we're recording this, this will be coming out on Monday the... Blah, 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 Monday the what? Monday the 6th?
Yes, of June.
So, June 8th, we'll get Aquaman Rebirth, The Flash Rebirth, number one, and Wonder Woman Rebirth, number one. There's still some vestiges of the old stuff finishing out, but Action Comics number 957, Detective Comics number 934, blah, 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 blah. I think that's it that's starting that's new. They still got Earth 2 Societies coming out and a couple others like that. Which there was an in-between New 52 and this. It was called the DCU, and it lasted even shorter than everything else. I think the last issue of Batman Beyond came out last week. I don't know. They're going to redo that too, but they're finishing up old stuff before they bring in the new. Yeah. So the issue of Green Arrow will come out
about a week and a half.
Yes.
Next week.
June 15th. Yes, exactly.
So every 2 weeks for a while. I mean, they'll go back to monthly eventually, but and they're all $2.99.
Yeah.
Note, $2.99.
Yes, that's one thing I was going to mention and I didn't. So we'll get to that in a minute. But one of the cool things the DC Rebirth is doing is bringing back relationships, and it's okay to have girlfriends and boyfriends and all that good things. Maybe not. Well, we won't get into that, I guess. But
and one of the ones that was alluded to in the Rebirth issue that we covered last week was the long-standing pre Flashpoint relationship between Green Arrow and Black Canary, and that is one of the ones that Geoff Johns focused. He gave a whole page of that 80-page giant to their relationship.
Yep. Absolutely.
He among all the other executives realized what a mistake it was to eliminate relationships. There's no harm in them. They can be when written correctly and when not abused. And be just fine. I know that Marvel also has recently had a problem with relationships. They don't have a lot of them going on either, but they do use them. Anyhow, so can I take this one? Do you mind?
Dude, go ahead.
All right, so cool. This has got two covers, this particular issue. The one I really like is the close-up on Green Arrow's face with the beard and the glowing pointed arrow, very reminiscent of longbow hunters from way back in the day.
Yeah, I think one of the covers from Kevin Smith's run was like that, too.
Yeah. Oh, and that the arrow shape, that is straight out of Longbow Hunters. That is one of the things that Grell definitely introduced way back in the day. But then we get the second cover, which I'm... They have a series of these for these new Reavers, which I am really not fond of, but... who is this? Scroachy or something like that is the artist. And
yeah, that's okay. I mean, you know.
They look mushed. They look like someone mushed them down a little bit. I don't know.
Well, yeah. At least it doesn't have speech balloons on it.
Okay, which I know you hate. Yeah.
I don't know why, but it just bugs the hell out of me. Anyway.
And we have Rock and Roll Black Canary on the cover, along with, on this particular cover, along with, I like this design of Green Arrow's costume, by the way. I really do. I don't know if that's reminiscent of the TV show, but I assume that parts of it are.
It is now, because what happened was the media called him just plain Arrow.
Right.
And in circumstances came to the point where his identity got revealed. And then they faked his death, and they faked Arrow's death. So when he comes back, he actually is called Green Arrow. He calls himself Green Arrow, pretending like he's a whole different person. And that's real close to the outfit. It's very heavy in the green. It is very close to that. So, yeah. He doesn't have a goatee, though.
Well, being a fan of the Rock and Roll Black Canary series, I am glad that they kept a lot of her costume, along with those the boots, like the Batgirl boots.
I do. I agree. I wasn't really fond of the rock and roll thing, but I do love that outfit. That's very reminiscent of the old days.
And I'm assuming they're boots that they've made. It's possible that they are the new versions of the Converse kicks, which are shiny. They have two versions of the Converse high tops now, which are shiny and then canvas. And I can't imagine her crime fighting in Doc Martens, which those look like Doc Martens. But
yes, I was going to say that Doc Martens.
Fashion cast with Caleb and Chris.
That's about the only name of clothing that I know for some reason. I don't know why, but I saw those and I'm thinking, hey, that looks like Doc Martens. Anyway.
But they stuck with the jacket and the fishnets, and awesome.
Ah, fishnets.
So we start off, and we are still in Seattle. Thank goodness. They have not shifted it back to Star City. I'm glad for that. And it's a great skyline shot. I imagine it's a photo reference by the artist. But
It looks very – I've actually been in the Seattle several times.
Yeah, Rainier in the background. You got the Space Needle, yada, yada, yada.
Hold on, my Amazon Echo is trying to talk to us here. Let me turn the mic off. There we go.
Hello.
Continue.
Hello, it's trying to tell us about Seattle.
Exactly, yeah. It's like, I'm sorry, I didn't understand what you said. I wasn't talking to you. Anyway.
So we have a voiceover. There's somebody talking. He says, are you alone, Mr. Queen? And based on the dialogue box, which is green and has an arrow in it, it says, afraid so. Oh. So it's clearly Oliver Queen talking. She said she found me exhausting. She said she was sick of my sanctimonious, holier-than-thou attitude. Perhaps next time you'll find a better match than a Republican senator's daughter. So they're setting him up as the pre-Flashpoint, or I guess he was fairly liberal in the current series as well. But they're definitely establishing him as the hardcore leftist.
Yes, the social justice warrior, I believe, is what they said earlier in the issue.
There
and,
you go.
Yeah.
So, and he,
I mean, later in the issue.
We'll get to that. So he's basically, he babbles on a little bit about how evil conservatives are, and he gets an agreement from the guy he's giving a huge tip to, who, of course, says, you are the god. No, he doesn't say that, but they are in full agreement. We switch to outside, and there's a little boy begging for money as his mom is playing guitar in the street, and the guitar has a sticker on it that says, oh, what does it say? It says, this machine kills fascists on the guitar, which, ironically, it's a six-string guitar, but if you look closely, it has more than six strings on it. But whatever.
Oh my!
I know, bad art. No, I love this art actually.
No, I liked it too actually. Yeah, I don't know. It's realistic enough, but not too realistic, I guess. I don't know. I liked it. It wasn't. Some of the art in the previous series was a little rough off and on. Of course, they had so many creative teams on that series, the New 52 one, that it was hard to keep track. But anyway, continue.
It started with Juergens, I think, right? Way back on the earliest issues.
No, he was after the first team failed.
Oh, I know it was some. It was some. Anyhow, it doesn't matter. They were gone. So we see a guy walking past. We don't see his head, but we see that he's very well-dressed, and he's walking past them playing, and the kid's begging for money, and the guy hands the kid a $100 bill, and it's all, thanks, Mr. Beardman. And then a wind comes along and blows the $100 away, and the guy who gave it to him just keeps walking on, doesn't even know, and the mom is playing guitar, says, hold on, just keep an eye on her stuff, guard her things, and she'll be right back. And she goes to collect the $100 bill, which went down into the sewer, and she gets slammed into the sewer, and her guitar gets all broke, and there's a scream, and the kid's all, Mommy! And it's nighttime in Seattle now, and I come in, excuse me, Queen voiceover, I come home to the news that 17 missing persons cases have been filed with Seattle PD, all women and children, all poor, all many homeless, a population that often doesn't report crimes, so 17 might actually be 30, even 50. And we see the kid is getting dragged along. Let me go, I want my mom. And getting dragged along by some guy, some person in a hood, pulling him along, and Green Arrow shoots an arrow into the wall. Twack. I prefer the company of the streets. I prefer the job description of social justice warrior. There you go. That was it, Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well, I that stuck with me because they used that in some of the advertising, too. So,
and then we get a really good splash panel, splash page, where he's jumping off a roof. Says, call me Green Arrow. And nice bow. I don't know what they call that kind of bow.
It's a compound bow, which the classic Green Arrow would never use.
No, he used a longbow. That was the whole point of Longbow Hunters, is he had
it's
a one-piece.
He made deal.
What it was like a 50-pound tension, but it took 300 pounds of pressure to pull the string back.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah, I remember him giving Arsenal crap for using a compound bow.
Yep. And this is the title of this issue is Rebirth. Shocking. Again, story by Benjamin Percy, art and color by Otto Schmidt, letters Nate Pecos.
Question:
sure.
Have you ever heard of this Benjamin Percy guy?
I've heard the name, and I don't know where I've heard it. So,
well, okay. Well, while you're doing that, comic book DB it goes.
And we see Green Arrow diving down, and he snatches up the kid from the hooded character, and they have a couple fisticuffs, and all of a sudden we get a wait, I know you, and we see him get a thwap in the face, and we see he's very bearded. Very, very big beard. God, this reminds me of the art kind of reminds me of of Dennis Cohen. It's really nice.
Okay. I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
And she pulls off a robe, and it's green. It's Black Canary. And she says, but apparently you don't recognize Black Canary. It's another splash page of her. So basically they're setting this up as it's going to be the two of them in the book together for a while. For a while, at least. We'll see how long that lasts. I would like to see it last.
Let's see. Okay, well, all right, now, Benjamin Percy, relatively new. His first work is 2006, Best American Comics. He did Convergence, Speed Force, DC Sneak Peek, Green Arrow. So he did Green Arrow before.
Yes.
41... through the last one, 52.
Yeah, and that's I was going to mention that before. That's where I heard the name. It just as you were saying that, occurred to me that he wrote the crap issues that led up to this. And my guess is it was heavy-handed editing.
Oh, I imagine so.
He took direction.
Because this seems perfectly fine to me.
So far, so good.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a silent panel of him standing there staring at her and her staring back at him. And he says, "I'm sorry, I thought..." "It's all right," she says. "We've only met once before. I hardly recognize you myself under all that hair." And she's pointing out his beard, which is really thick.
Mm-hmm.
And she has the kid by the arm again. So maybe you can help us. He wants his mom, but he needs a nurse and a bath. And we're back at Ollie Queen's apartment, which has got a great view, and Black Canary's chilling out on the couch. And, "What are you doing here anyway?" he asks off-panel. "I didn't know I needed Green Arrow's permission to enter Seattle. I mean, in the street on a rainy night with this kid. I heard crying from a steward. Go ahead.
Hold on 1 second. We have a Mr. Murray.
Murray Fox.
Let's bring him into this call here. Uno momento, senor. Invite to call. Why? There we go. Oops. No, that's not going to work. We're in Oliver Queen's apartment right now.
Yes. You there, Murray? You there, Chris?
I'm here.
All right, hold on. I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this a la Vegas style and hold the microphone so I can sit back and relax. Sorry. The stylings, the soft stylings of Caleb. There's a visual that goes along with that, by the way. Sorry. All right.
Sorry.
So, Ollie is giving these little street...
Sorry, I couldn't help it. Go ahead.
I'm going to swill my martini over here.
Yeah.
Swill? No, I don't know. Swirl. Swirl.
Swirl it.
Swirl
That's it.
Not swill it. All right, so he's giving the kid a bath, and she's explaining what she was doing down there, where she heard crying coming from the sewer, and sees the kid with a cut-up arm, and he kept saying, "They took her." They who?" he asked the kid. "We want to help you, buddy," he asks. "Can you help us? Who took your mom?" "The underground men," he whispers. All right, med kits in the linen closet for clothes. "Check out my sister Emmy's room. Something of hers should fit," which is a throwback to the previous continuity, which never went away. I don't know if Emmy is part of the Emiko is part of the current TV show or not.
No, he's got that's like a half sister.
Okay.
In
the comics,
the one
his dad was sleeping around a lot.
Yeah, actually, his mother was sleeping around in the TV show, so that's his half-sister in the TV show. But she's, long story short, she's basically Speedy. So.
And in the comic, she is as well. So
yes.
He's all, "Thank you, Mr. Beardman." And Queen is grabbing a straight razor and says, "I just want to clean up." Have you read this, Murray? Or am I the only one who's there? Are you going in this cold?
I read it.
And I think we may have lost Murray again. I don't know.
Did we lose Murray?
I think he's
yeah, his ball
he's
dropped.
Drowning in Canada. I'm just going to keep going. If
All
he
right.
comes back, great.
Keep
yeah.
going.
So she's commenting. She says, "You know, the Justice League and the Gotham crew, they talk about you," she says. "I'm afraid you've got a rep as a sanctimonious jerk." He said, "What? I can't hear you with the water running. Always loud-mouthing, your moral outrage, complaining about elitism, racism, cronyism, conservatism, any-isms, all the isms. You call yourself a social justice warrior, but look at this apartment, look at this life. So, what do you think? To be honest, I think you're a bit of a hypocrite," she says. "How can you fight the man if you are the man? I mean, what do you think?"
I love that little thing. That's pretty cool.
"And I dropped," he says. And he's all, "I mean, what do you think of the goatee? I was getting sick of all the beard jokes. What are you talking about? I'm the man. It means you're going to have to do more than shave to impress me. Let's get the kid home. He says he can find his father in the jungle." The what? So, yeah, he trimmed down his...
Back.
There he is.
So you missed all the isms.
The isms. I know, that was a great page.
Mm-hmm.
That was a great page. So now we're in The Jungle. Good God. Every city should have.
Well, I'm too.
It looks like Swiss Family Robinson with.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
It's, what was that movie? The Avatar. Yeah, there we go, Avatar.
Ah, yes, yes.
Or perhaps it's the Ewok Tree City. So she's talking to him as they're walking through the jungle. It says, "The jungle is a homeless encampment that reaches across several hundred acres of greenbelt. How checked out are you?" she asks. "I've been accused of having an impenetrable ego, but maybe just quit with the insults, okay? You can't just..."
You know, this is kind of an interesting twist, because back in the 70s, it was always Queen that was doing this kind of thing, you know. You play the hero of the common, you know, the common man. I remember him griping at the Justice League for taking care of space, but what about the people on the street, that kind of thing. Interesting.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
And there was the whole thing with Green Lantern, where he's, you know, you take care of the Green Man, but what about the Black Man, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And she accuses him of throwing money at the problem. He's like, "I'm doing a hell of a lot more than that." And maybe so far Seattle appears as neglected. Maybe so far Seattle appears as neglected as that heroin addicted partner you used to have. Which is a throwback to when he was teamed up with Roy Harper. Which I don't know if it ever... That may be recreated continuity. I don't know.
Yeah, they had a... I remember them when I was reading Red Hood and Arsenal still, or the Outsiders, or whatever the hell they called it. Red Hood and his merry band of misfits. They alluded to that they had a very brief partnership. So,
and he gets sanctimonious. "Don't you dare say that. You play hero of the common man in the streets, then you go home to bathe in champagne and sleep on a mattress of money. If you've got it rock, you've got it rough, little Miss Rockstar. You don't know a thing about me," she says. "And you don't know a thing about me," he says. "There was a time when I was a world-class privileged D-bag, I'll admit, but then what?" she asks. "Then a storm came, then my ship sank, then the island claimed me, then I learned to survive.
And I got a TV deal."
Yes, right. He did.
"And I got a cool quiver of arrows, and I got a new bow, and I got a hood, and..." So there. No, basically... It's about the quickest recap of his origin that you're ever going to read, which is a total of 1.5 panels to tell his whole origin.
Yeah, considering they did a year one series way back when that was 4 issues.
Well, there was the cool Jock series that came out. Was that year one?
Yeah, that's the one I'm talking about.
Awesome. And he's like, "Why the hell am I explaining myself? What do you care?" "I care because I used to be this kid," pointing at the one they gave a bath to, "bouncing between foster homes and the street. How about we trade, huh? I'll take your island any day." And then the kid spots, "Daddy! But where's your mother?" says Dirty Daddy. He's very dirty. "Grubby. She's missing, and she's one of many. Maybe you can help me understand what's happening," says Queen. "It's them. We hear a scream. Ah!
My favorite sound effect. The Underground Men.
The Underground Men, which, actually, it's kind of a Manola-ish panel.
Yep. I was thinking the same thing.
This guy vacillates. I was saying earlier, Murray, that his art reminded me of Dennis Cohen stuff.
Oh, yeah, kind of. I was thinking Von Eden a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we've got this, like I said, the panel that's very Manola-like. But yeah, Von Eden, back from the original miniseries, back in the gazillion years ago. Who wrote that?
Yep.
Was it
Mike Barr?
Mike Barr, okay.
Wow. I think I actually have those issues.
They established that Vertigo was going to be a Green Arrow villain.
Mm.
Anderson.
Great stuff.
Bunch of these mole men-looking guys with the pointy teeth and the pointy ears and the big sunglasses on.
Very Nosferatu look.
They're all saying slurm. It's quite the sound. Slurm. And Green Arrow and Black Canary look at each other briefly, going, oh my god, what the hell? And then he shoots a flare arrow in the sky to give, so they can steal back the night. Isn't that a movie? Anyhow.
That's a song.
It might be. Yes.
And he then pulls out the pointy arrow and hits one of the slurm guys in the shoulder, and she sonic cries a couple more. This is what it sounds like when your ears bleed.
I thought that was like a Prince tribute there for a minute. You know, this is what it sounds like. Anyway, go ahead.
I've never actually heard my ears bleed, but I guess these guys are. And he's thinking to himself, there's something about her, something that makes me feel gratefully defenseless.
Oh.
And he...
Yeah.
And he...
Oh, yeah.
Throws one of the slurm guys through the leg so that he leaves a trail of blood. And she's... interrogating one of the guys she captured and saw, what are you doing? Well, first of all, how can he hear her? She made his ears bleed.
Yeah, no kidding.
What are you doing to these people? Where are you taking them? I'm no music critic, but you can sure wail. That was kind of amazing. No matter how much I scream, she says, I don't think this worm is going to talk. And he says, listen, worm, there's a special black chamber in my heart. It's full of sharp objects, and it's pretty much absent of mercy, and it's reserved especially for those who prey on the weak. You have 5 seconds, then I'm going to take you there for a special VIP tour. And he's about to twang the arrow. And the guy's all, slurm tonight, the auction. Where? Where's this auction? There, and he points at the hole in the ground where they all came out of. Shockingly, they couldn't figure out to go down the hole in the ground. So they were dragging all the bodies. They aren't the world's greatest detectives, these two. The social warrior and the rock star.
Mm-hmm.
And they go climbing down the hole into the bat cave. No, it's... why did you come to Seattle, really? He asks. I thought I might go on a bit of a walkabout. Like the Pacific Crest Trail. I hear that's what people are doing these days when they feel lost and in need of reinvention, she says. That sounds a little dramatic, doesn't it?
You know, I'm sorry, but this has really captured the old feel between these two so quickly that I'm amazed. It's just like no time has passed at all to me. I mean, almost. You know what I mean? Do you guys feel that too?
I'm glad it's back.
Me too.
Yeah.
I missed it.
Yeah, yeah. They're a cool couple.
And they've made him contemporary age-wise. I always thought that was the difference in age was kind of neat before.
Yeah, yeah. If not slightly creepy.
Well, Grell really picked up on it in the first issue of Longbow Hunters, where he talks about him being a grandfather by the point that series starts.
And
then she's like, you know what? That sounds a little dramatic, doesn't it? Sorry, I've been through a lot lately. He says, you know where we are? A far-reaching branch of the Seattle Underground, I think. There was a massive fire back in the 1800s, and they built a city 2 stories above where it once stood. Seattle was reborn over the ashes of another time. The city got a second chance. I got a second chance. So do you.
So did the fans.
So the fans. That's right. It's a commentary. It's very meta.
Yes, it is.
Ooh.
So they're chitty-chatting. Here's the second chances, I guess. All right, now follow the rich, arrogant loudmouth who makes up for his inadequacies with cool gadgets, she says. Happily. Or he says that, sorry. And he shoots another...
Damn it.
Shoots another flare arrow up into the rotting wood, which doesn't seem like the smartest idea, but whatever. And they keep following the trail of blood, which looks like rose petals on the ground. It's just me. And we are in a video chamber.
No, I agree.
With a bunch of masked people, weird masks. Who buys masks?
One of them's an owl. One of them's the Court of Owls.
Where's
too.
That?
I just noticed that. Over on the right-hand corner.
Oh, on the...
Ooh.
Right in the middle. In the middle. On the right side.
Good.
I didn't catch that before.
And this is going to lead right to the heart of the problem, he says. Not too far from the docks beneath the downtown, a ruined mansion lies buried. How does he know all this? He doesn't know about the jungle where all the homeless people are, but he knows all this. Okay.
Yeah, that, I just started to catch that right before you said it. That doesn't sound right.
No, so he knows the history of this castle, one of the Hearst castles that burned down. I like the line, though, fire is a great equalizer. The mansion burned down along with the rest of the city. But today, their ballroom once again hosts the moneyed. The moneyed, okay. Anyhow, so we have a guy talking like the Slurm guys. And he says, before we begin, I'm going to remind you that this feed is camouflaged by 20 VPN relays. Then we only accept LexCoin cryptocurrency transactions, and that next month's underground auction will be sourced from San Francisco. Seems like a lot of information to share, but whatever.
Yeah.
Without further ado, our first property is a 25-year-old female. Let's open the bidding at $10,000. Whether you fancy her for work, pleasure, food, laboratory experimentation, rest assured that this is a clean exchange. And we're up to 15,000 LexCoin for the bid.
That was a nice touch.
Which LexCoin?
Instead of Bitcoin.
LexCoin. No one will ever pursue her any of our properties because they are no one. She is no one. They're coming, says the Slurm guy that was bleeding. And that guy has funky ass limbs. Look at that. Anyhow.
Yes.
Yep. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me, I don't know if you were reading Batman, that Blossom or whatever his name was.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The flower guy that was fighting Commissioner
Gordon. Yeah, whatever the
hell his
name. Yeah. What it reminds me of.
Spores, yeah. And I like that touch by the artist where the guy, the camera redirects down into the, you know, gets pulled down by the stumbling guy, and he's now up on the screen as well.
Yeah. That's good.
And we switch focus. Now Green Arrow has got a bunch of arrows knocked up, and the bidding is closed, and she is doing her sonic scream and Green Arrow shooting people. Plack. Ugh, right through the shoulder. He likes those shoulder shots and leg shots, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad they're keeping him not being a killer.
And she's screaming at people and he's shooting people.
Because that was one thing that bothered me about the first season of Arrow is he killed people all the time, bad guys all the time. And then they had things happen. They wrote it in purposely where he doesn't kill anymore. So, but anyway, go ahead.
No, I just, since I don't follow the series, I did not know that.
Yeah, they started him out with he would, whoever he was hunting down, he'd kill him.
That's very unsuperhero-like.
Yes, exactly. That's, and they fixed it after that.
And the guy is holding the woman over the pit, and he's got some funky long legs and funky long arms, and Green Arrow says, you think their lives are yours to sell? And the guy says, everyone's life is for sale, even yours. And she drops her down the pit. These people are so irrelevant, they might as well not exist. You're wrong. And Green Arrow shoots an arrow, and it sticks in the wall, and the woman somehow has the wherewithal to grab the arrow, which sticks in the wall, even though she's probably got to weigh in excess of 100 pounds. Whatever.
Hmm.
Yeah, so.
Hey, come on now. This is a comic book.
I know. So she only weighs, she weighs 98 pounds, like all women in comic books.
Exactly.
So he pulls her up out of the pit, and then they start yelling at one of the masked guys. He says, I might not have any special powers. I might be young. I might be a loudmouth. I might have a lot to learn, but don't underestimate me. Whatever this is, I'm going to stop it. Whoever you are, I'm going to shut you down. And when I do, I'll make you feel debased, devalued, bankrupt in every possible way. There will be nothing left. You'll know how it feels, what it feels like to be no one. I promise. And they've got their fists raised in the air. I didn't like that. That bothered me.
No, that seemed very cheesy.
And now it's bright as day in the city of
now
Seattle.
Now it's sexy time.
It is. Oh, sorry. And she's...
Wait a minute. I'm sure I've got a sound effect for that.
All right. So they're on the roof.
Oh, that's a start.
And she says, you took me... You took me and that boy to your apartment earlier. Without a second thought, she says, protecting my identity didn't seem as important as protecting the boy. I guess I was afraid to reveal myself. Not to you. And she has a jacket. I don't remember those jackets from the Black Canary series, but I'm assuming they had them.
No, I don't remember ever having one like that on her back, no.
So,
they're a band. They need new swag all the time. Jacket.
Yeah.
And yet, so he doesn't feel, he says, and yet, I don't even know your name. She says, Dinah Lance. And he's Oliver Queen. Nice to meet you, Dinah. She says, finally. And they're getting close to a little kissy kiss.
Oh, damn it. I'm going to cry.
It's the beginning, not the end. And then we get a
awesome.
We get a Rebirth preview for Superman, Superman's comics, the Superman's comics, I don't know, whatever.
Superman's comics.
Superman.
He's super
right.
Hero. Now more than ever. Yes, I love that.
So, as we were saying before you joined us, Murray, this was a good restart. Not a reboot, but a restart for a title that should have been doing much better creatively than it was, based because people would be drawn to it because of the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes,
hopefully,
sir.
Yep.
Very nice.
Hopefully not too little too late.
No, I think considering that Rebirth has gone into its third printing, which in the age of digital is pretty impressive, I think. I read that just the other day, maybe yesterday morning. That's a pretty big deal. I think even some of the other Rebirth titles went into second printings. So it's a good start, I think. I really do. I am happy.
Yeah.
And excited. I'm very excited about it. Very excited. So.
For my part, I was at Phoenix Comic Con yesterday, which was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I
saw that.
How was it? You got in?
I got in. Crap.
No. What, didn't they have, like, line problems one of the days?
I didn't hear about that. Honestly, I didn't think Phoenix Comic Con warranted any news, but that would be interesting to read. I will check that out.
I think one of the days, yeah, they had trouble getting people in.
It wouldn't have been yesterday. Was good. Sorry.
Well, I don't remember whether it was Friday or Saturday. They were stuck lining up outside in the heat for hours and hours.
Wouldn't have been yesterday. Wow. Yesterday was not bad at all. I mean, we arrived a little bit before 10, which is when the doors opened, and we got right in, got our passes, and I went back outside about 2 hours later, and there was nobody outside, so I would assume that it would be Friday then, not yesterday.
Maybe it was the Friday, yeah, maybe.
Well,
good,
that's a shame.
Did you get good deals?
Here's the thing, is I didn't go with an agenda, which was my mistake this year. I didn't go saying, hey, I want to buy this, this, and this. So I kind of just wandered, but my daughter, and I'll post the picture when I get the digital copy of it, she got a picture with Timothy Amundsen and somebody else. I don't remember his name now, but a really cool picture.
Cool.
And her friend got a picture with Alex Kingston, which came out really nicely. And what else?
That's cool.
It'd
be even cool. Be even cooler if I knew who those people were.
Alex Kingston, she was River Song on Doctor Who.
And okay.
Timothy Amundsen, where I know him from, he was on Psych. He was Carlton, the straight-laced cop.
Okay,
but
gotcha.
My daughter is a fan of his and the other guy from Supernatural. They both play supporting characters on Supernatural. So
I'm really trying to get into that show. I've got a lot of them.
You got 15, 17 seasons to catch up on?
Yeah, it's the 11th season is this year, yeah.
How all those demons survive, I have no idea. But, and there were, I mean, there were shitload of celebrities. I had an opportunity, you'll like this one, Chris, I had an opportunity to chit-chat with Kurt Busiek for a little while, which was kind of...
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, Marv Wolfman and George Perez were
there. They were sitting right across the aisle from each other. I actually bought a Wolfman script for Cyborg number 11, which just came out a couple weeks ago, which was really good.
Oh, sweet.
He signed it. It was a little pricey, $15 for print out of a script, but... I was okay with that, I guess. But no, Murray, I didn't come away with a lot of swag. I bought some T-shirts for my wife and my younger daughter who didn't get to make it, and that's about it. I walked around, and surprisingly for Comic-Con, there were not a lot of book dealers. There was a lot of other stuff.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, that's what I found the last con I went to. There weren't enough books and comics in the back issue bins for my liking.
Yeah, I didn't get to go to Planet Comic Con this year, and there was a lot of people I would like to have met. Stan Lee was there, Nichelle Nichols, George Takei was there, a couple others. So,
well, we'll be having another con at the end of October here, so I think I'm going to go with an agenda this time. Say, okay, these are things I'm going to be looking for and try and get them. The only thing I said I'm going to try and look for was I'm going to look for some essentials or showcases. And
those
honestly,
are hard to find now.
Yeah, the essentials are really. I mean, Marvel's the way they do their stuff. You really got to get those when they come out.
Yeah, I didn't see. I think I saw like. The only showcase I saw was a Batgirl showcase, which, you know, taking nothing away from her, I have no interest in it, so I didn't get it. And I didn't see any essentials at all. The only thing I came close to buying is they had some, well, I think what they called the Classic Power Pack. I almost picked that up, but I ended up not. And, I mean, I would have paid... You know, I was looking for like Fables trades, I guess. If I had seen them, I would have picked them up. Not at cover price, but I might have bought them. You know,
those might be harder to find since they got those deluxe editions out. They started putting those out. I think they're still.
Didn't even find them at cover price. That was the thing. It was a little frustrating on that level, but.
Well, you see, from my experience going to Planet Comic Con, you're going to find Marvel stuff a lot easier because they're 9 times out of 10 they're not returnable.
Didn't have any interest in the Marvel stuff I saw. None of it jumped out at me. And to be honest with you, the one place that had a big collection of trades to go through, they weren't in any particular order. So I wasn't going to sit and box dive through 50 boxes in the hopes that I'd find one or two. That just wasn't. Yeah. That wasn't how I wanted to spend my day.
Yeah.
It wasn't worth it.
Now, the last time I went to Comic-Con, I waited doing a lot of that stuff till Sunday, did everything else I wanted to do the first 2 days, and then I went in and, you know, did all that, and I ended up taking out 3 book backpacks full of books.
Which you still haven't read.
Yes, which is good, see, because I've saved up and now money's getting tight and I probably won't be able to afford to buy any in a while. And so I have plenty of comics for the great comic book drought of 2016. It should be starting any day now. So, kids are expensive, man, I'm telling you.
If any people who run comic book conventions are listening, the larger ones, which I would now consider the Phoenix to be one of the larger, if not at least bigger than midsize now, given the quality of guests that show up, maybe set aside maybe one or two more booths for book dealers, for comic books.
Yes. I think a lot of, I mean, I don't even think, I think it's hard to find back issues anywhere these days, except for you look online.
They had a bunch, you know, they had a couple of dollar box places, but again, I wasn't looking for individual issues, so I wasn't there.
I've pretty much stopped collecting the singles, I think. I'm just going for trades, and especially since it seems like DC in particular is really starting to put out the older stuff in omnibuses and stuff. They've putting out, like, just ordered DCBS, the Silver Age Titans omnibus. And I got Brave and the Bold Silver Age on its way here in a couple of weeks. And they're a lot more reasonable than Marvel's omnibuses, that's for sure. It's like one of the, about the same size. They want, you know, half off of DCBS is like $37, and one of Marvel's for about the same size, you know, half is like $70. It's ridiculous, but hey, you know.
Well, I don't know what I'll buy next convention. I may pony up for a photograph if there's somebody cool at.
The last time I went, I really went crazy, and I'm still I'm still paying the credit card bills, I think.
Oh, here we go. Bleeding Cool has an article about the lines at Phoenix Comic Con. Again, I didn't know. I mean, you know, if anybody would have it, it'd be Bleeding Cool. It was Friday.
You know, I stopped reading that completely. I don't even have it in my feeds anymore. I've been on that site, and I don't know how long.
I waited for hours, and it got to be 113 degrees out. Holy shit.
Yeah, I'd be a little upset about that.
Wow. I'm going to have to read this.
All right.
Anyhow. Yeah. So.
Well, okay, I think we've covered everything with the two recordings together. We've got about an hour's worth, so. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com and let us know what you think there. Or you can join us on Facebook, and we need to get some more conversations going there, but there's some good stuff. And also, you can comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And that is it for this week.
All right. Catch you later.
All right, catch you later.
All right, gentlemen. Have a good week. Go earn some money.
Totally.
All right, you too. All right.